Cambridge 105 Community Radio in your city. It's Friday night. It's warm, but maybe that's the kind of warm you might want to have a nice chilled glass of wine to. So to help us through all of that, I've got Mark Anstead here from the Cambridgeshire Wine School. Good to see you, Mark.
Thank you very much. Well, I would like to have a nice glass of chilled wine with a warm... This is actually a bit of a warm studio, isn't it?
It's always a bit of a warm studio.
The sun shining in the window.
And what tends to happen, actually, there's a bit of cloud cover today, which is just as well, because normally I sit here at 4 o'clock and the sun's straight in my eyes. By probably like 5 o'clock, it's moved. Sitting over there, and if this was like 6:30, sitting in your seat right opposite me, the sun would have moved round, and it'd been your turn.
I've not been with you in the summer before, but are we saying basically that all the listeners should appreciate the hard, difficult work you put yourself through on a summer's day? That this studio becomes an oven.
When Neil Whiteside claims he's doing the breakfast show naked, he's not making it up.
I'm not sure about joining him on one of those days.
Be careful when you come into breakfast on a hot day.
Okay, so look, I want to tell you a few things about what we've been doing. You interested in that?
I am.
Actually, you know, it's been a really great week for Cambridgeshire Wine School because on Wednesday I had 31 people with me in... Thursday evening. And we were doing sparkling wine and champagne, and that's probably the largest glass size I've had before. I've done parties that are bigger, but when you've got 6 glasses out for everybody, nibbles on the table, presentation going up with a bit of information, that's a lot of people to cater for. And the reason they had all come? Because we were cutting open a bottle of champagne with a sabre. You heard about this?
I heard about that, yes.
This is called Sabrage. It is the
It's called downright dangerous, I would have thought.
Goes back hundreds of years. Veuve Clicquot, you're familiar with that as a champagne? That's Widow Clicquot. Hundreds of years ago, used to entertain the French Legion soldiers, not one at a time, in groups, in her chateau. And at the end of the evening... She would allow them to go ride off on their horses with a bottle of champagne that she'd given them all. But of course, there they are on the bottle on their horse, and they can't open the bottle of champagne using two hands while riding a horse. But they wanted to show off. So they'd hold the bottle and the reins in one hand, whip out their saber, and literally cut off the top of the bottle with the saber. And this has now become a... fun way to open champagne when you're wanting to celebrate. It's called Sabrage, and people loved it. All the phones coming out and the cameras to take the picture.
This is kind of the equivalent of when I was at school. We had a science teacher, Mr. Pullum, Dr. Pullum, as he insisted on being called. And the thing every term, as often as possible, please, sir, can you make us some dry ice? And that was, it sounded like a variation on that, of the excitement of people wanting to see it.
Yeah, that's right. Dry ice? Well, yeah, okay. But, yeah, I suppose so. It's spectacular, isn't it? Something to look at. So we're going to follow that up, because people really seem to enjoy that. So I've already got another date up in August where we're going to do that again, but we're going further. We're pairing sparkling wines with food. So we're going to have lots of samples of dishes out as well. But I'll also do a plain sparkling wine tasting for people that don't fancy the extra food, they just want the sparkling wine. I'll put another one of those on. But yeah, it's another thing for summer, isn't it? Sparkling wine. And Sauvignon Blanc is a great, great variety for summer. Just that zingy, zesty.
I do rather like it. And I guess it's almost one of the reasons to like it is because it's not Chardonnay. That's a good reason to start off with.
Yeah.
Then after that, it does. You're right. It does have that zing to it.
So I have a wine here because what we thought we'd do, didn't we, is let's actually compare a French with a New World.
Yeah, so sort of like a, I don't know, war, country. We can't really go to war with New Zealand. We'll do our best on the cricket field. But we can maybe metaphorically put them together with France and see who comes out on top.
It's a great way to approach looking at wine because you really get to know. I've got, not tomorrow, but the following Saturday. What date is that? Not tomorrow, but the following Saturday.
It is going to be 22nd tomorrow.
29th. Good.
Okay. Well done, Zoe.
29th. It was a little bit slow, that wasn't it? With
I don't do math.
Yeah.
Only got grade C.
29th of this month, I've got a France versus New World Saturday. So we do Saturday courses once a month. And this is from 11 till 4 and includes a two-course lunch and champagne. We do 13 wines in the day. So it's a public transport jobby, isn't it? But we do it. We're going to do this particular one, France versus the New World, each grape variety at a time. So you're not travelling the world country by country like I usually do. Instead, we're travelling grape by grape. And each time, I'm going to give people a covered-up bottle of the French version of the grape and a covered-up bottle of the New World version of the grape, which is New Zealand, Australia, or California, or Chile, or Argentina, or wherever it is, South Africa. And people are not going to know which is which. And the thing is, we talk about the taste differences and then get handed over to everybody to guess. It's a great way. It's a lot of fun. We're not going to be too serious about it. You know, score you or, you know, it'll pass a test. But it's a great way to really get to know the grape and how it differs when it's made in a cool climate like France and a warmer climate like Chile or something like that, or even New Zealand.
New Zealand, in this, as the sort of New Zealand continent, is not as warm as Australia.
It isn't as warm. No, it's kind of, yeah, I don't really know how to describe it. But I mean, it isn't. It's parts of it are quite cool, but actually it's producing a style that you'd more so easily associate with a warmer climate. But I was showing you something earlier on, because this
was pretty spectacular.
Another spectacular thing. But of course, we have to describe it, because people can't see. I've got a bottle here. Do you know, I had a friend say to me, I bought a couple of bottles of wine, I put them in the back of the car, we were driving down the road, and they were just chinking together, and one of them broke. So the whole car then smelled of wine, you know? So, yeah, if you're going to put two bottles together, you bought two bottles, you want to put a piece of plastic between them or cardboard or something like that. But I have here two bottles of wine, and this is something I do on my summer evening tastings. I get people summer wines, and I say, right, we're going to just... What would happen if we just smashed these two bottles together?
Careful of the desk.
Here we go. Boing! So what I've just done is I've actually taken two bottles and I've, with some degree of force, knocked them against one another.
So they're not plastic. They are actually glass.
One of them is glass. The other one is plastic. That's why it's making this boing sound.
There we are. That's much better. Sort of.
And actually, do you want to feel the weight of this?
Zoe, do you want to pick those up for us?
Now, that is very light, isn't it? And the other one is very heavy. We are talking about a bottle that weighs 1/9 of the weight of an ordinary glass bottle, but it looks exactly like a bottle of wine, except you look a little more closely and you realise that actually it probably does look slightly plastic. But this is made from recyclable plastic, and it can be recycled again.
And I guess the city council will be rather pleased with that.
Yes. So this is Joseph Mello's green bottle, Sauvignon Blanc. So it's a Sauvignon Blanc from the Terrain, and you can buy this from Cambridge Wine Merchants. And I forget the exact price. I think it's something like $7.99. But let's open it and see what it tastes like, because this is where Sauvignon Blanc originated, before New Zealand kind of basically became the style that everybody was talking
about.
Reach
over across.
So people do talk about Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. Well, this is the original French version before Marlborough even existed. Before, you know, vines weren't planted in Marlborough until the 1970s. So if you wanted Sauvignon Blanc before that, you went to the Loire Valley in France or Bordeaux.
Yeah, it does have that lovely zingy taste that you were mentioning earlier on.
And it's got grapefruit, gooseberry.
Yeah, the grapefruit is really coming through this. Maybe not so much the gooseberry, but that might just be my particular palate. But
I think you're probably right.
I can feel the grapefruit coming through there, certainly.
Well, grapefruit is a key characteristic of Sauvignon Blanc. So this is one to sit back in your garden when it's really hot and feel very righteous about, because you've cut down on the carbon emissions. The transportation of the bottle, the heavy bottle, is of course a large part of the carbon emissions of wine. So you're doing the world some good, and you're sipping and warming up your soul at the same time. Very nice. So grapefruit, right? Zingy. And it also makes the mouth water a lot. So it's got this high acidity. So that is typical French Sauvignon Blanc. And there's going to be a different taste to that when we compare that with the New Zealand one.
It's a Friday afternoon going into Friday evening. It's strange to call it going into Friday evening when we're on the longest day. But Mark Ansett is here of the Cambridgeshire Wine School, and we're tasting a little bit of wine. We had a look at French Sauvignon Blanc, and now we're going to move
over to New Zealand. So New Zealand is like landed in the 80s, and everybody said, wow, Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand has a particular style, and it's a little different from everything else. So actually, I've poured you some. So if you would like to take
your glass here.
This time, let's not rush to taste. Let's give it a smell first.
Okay.
And what do you notice when you give it a smell?
Ooh.
Very intense, very fruity smell, right?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and the fruit smell that you're getting is not just grapefruit. There's kind of riper fruit flavours in there as well. There's peach. There's maybe some apricot in there. There's still, you know, something grapefruity or lemony as well. Sauvignon Blanc doesn't tend to lose that character, but it's added to it something else that's really, really much riper. So there's more going on and a stronger smell. So do you want to give that
Let's
a taste
a
then? Let's both give that a taste.
I know, that's interesting. It's less of the grapefruit, but it's still there. You can still feel it.
But fruitier overall.
Fruitier. This is more, I guess, a broader a selection of flavours altogether.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing about French Sauvignon Blanc, it's going to stay in those cooler fruit flavours. Because you think of apricot and peach as a warmer, riper flavour. And you need either more sun or more temperature to bring that riper flavour into the grape. I mean, that's not the only reason. There's other reasons. They do use a different yeast when they ferment it. They've got loads more sunlight, even if the temperatures are not necessarily a lot higher. It's the most sunshine hours of any part of New Zealand, Marlborough, bang in the middle. Even though Auckland is further up north, closer to the equator, you'd think that's hotter, but actually you've got more cloud cover because they're in the shadow of a massive, you know, mountainous kind of region, or big hills, at least, if there weren't mountains. And these are stopping a lot of the clouds. They're depositing all the rain on the other side of the western side, and Marlborough's on the eastern side, and it gets really cloudless, a lot of cloudless sky. And so for that reason, it's a perfect place to grow grapes, and particularly Sauvignon Blanc.
It works well here. That's certainly true. I think on difficult to compare, because somebody else would probably taste, and to their tastes, they would say the complete
varies,
opposite.
Yeah.
To mine, I would say, at least on these two selections, I would say the New Zealand wins, simply because of that broader selection of flavours.
A lot of people would agree with you. Now, if I was to have covered those up blind and given them to you separately, do you think you could have detected that the two things that would have given you away as a clue? The French one would have made your mouth water more. So it's like from a slightly cooler climate, and it's got more acidity in the grape. So it's not necessarily that it may taste tangier, although for some people it really will always taste tangier, but it will just make the mouth water more. And then the other thing is the fruit flavours would have been cooler fruits. They would have been greener, maybe citrus, lemon, wouldn't have gone so much into peach, tropical fruits or stone fruits like that. So if I'd have told you that as a clue, yeah, you'd have got it, wouldn't you?
I guess there's possibility. Now, the interesting thing is whether or not, you know, without the flavour guess, as to whether or not I could have picked the country, which we might have to experiment with another time.
I wouldn't make it that hard. I would tell you the country.
Oh, 50-50 chance of getting it right.
Yeah, exactly. No. We make it fun. We don't make it really hard. In fact, I've been doing a lot of this on punts. Hen parties, birthday groups, they love this.
This sound rather fun, actually, to try and, particularly, actually, a day like today, it'd actually probably be rather good to go punting and have one of these mini courses on, I guess.
I mean, the disadvantage is you have to book it in advance, so people feel they're taking a punt on the weather.
I guess you don't know what you're going to get, do you?
Yeah, but we do have a bad weather backup plan. So if things don't go well, we've got somewhere to go off and
do wine tasting. So you're in the boathouse or a nearby pub or winery or hall or something just to hop into.
And the punting company will be very good, and they'll either allow you to reschedule or they would refund if it was really, really bad. But the point is, you can float down the Cam in all sorts of weather. They've got umbrellas, they've got blankets. And, of course, I'm not punting while I'm trying to pour bottles or anything.
Somebody else is responsible for that.
It's
a bit nasty otherwise.
Yeah. It's chauffeured. But we do it as a game. We do it as, right, here comes the Sauvignon Blanc, and it's covered up, and here comes the Chardonnay. Let's try again. Here comes either the Sauvignon Blanc or the Chardonnay, and then they're both covered up. Yeah, and you have to work out which is which.
Because Chardonnay gets a bit of a bad rap. There are some very nice Chardonnays out there, but I always feel that Sauvignon is, I don't know, sophisticated is the wrong word, perhaps, but it's certainly feel you're getting something more, shall I say? That's the best way of describing it than with Chardonnay. Is that accurate, or is it a Chardonnay? I'm just living off the now bad reputation of some Chardonnays.
I think that people have been put off, and it's a shame because Chardonnay is a hugely variable grape and can taste in wide variety of different flavours. And when I do that game on the punt, if I give people an oaked Chardonnay against a Sauvignon Blanc, it would make it way too obvious. And that's what people are expecting. It's the oak, and that's what they don't like. So instead, I give them an unoaked Chardonnay, and that usually surprises them because that's not what they're used to when they're thinking about Chardonnay. So it comes in a wide variety of styles. And if you don't like Chardonnay, truth is you probably haven't tasted one yet that is a style that you would like. And it is out there somewhere. So it's a case of, you know, carrying on. Well, come to my wine tastings and give it a try, and then you'll know.
Are you wine schooling this weekend, or have other plans?
Oh, no, this weekend I'm taking a bit of a break, actually. But so next weekend we've got the Saturday course. I'm always doing stuff on Tuesday nights in the Cambridge Brewhouse, the occasional different other nights of the week in the City Hotel, like the champagne tasting. We've got some more individual evenings coming up like that. But, you know, if you want to do a group down the punt, then it's a case of getting
booking
a group
in
together
advance.
And
the website address, Mark, remind us of that.
CambridgeshireWineSchool.com.
Okay, well, thanks very much, as always. If you missed any of all of that, I actually took a little video whilst we were doing that bottle bashing, and I'll try and add that as well to the wine review page when the podcast goes up, which I suspect will be late Sunday. It's a bit of a busy weekend ahead, I'm afraid, so I might be a bit tardy at putting the podcast up. But, Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll have Christian Brown after 6 o'clock with the weekend warm-up, the news first,